Okay, everyone. Shalom uvracha. Welcome. Today is Wednesday, June 19th, and this is the United Orthodox Synagogue's Lunch and Learn, still being held virtually, but hopefully soon we'll come back together in person. Today we are going to be studying a mitzvah from Parshat Korach. As this week, this Shabbat, we read Parshat Korach, and we are studying a mitzvah of the week. That's this year's topic, and I will share the screen. We have a fascinating mitzvah to share, to talk about today, and I'm looking forward to it. So let's jump right in. This is mitzvah number 389. It is the prohibition of a Kohen doing a Levi's work or a Levi doing a Kohen's work in the Beit HaMikdash. We know that in the Beit HaMikdash, there were some jobs which were set aside for Kohanim, and there were some jobs which were set aside for Levi'im, and the Torah tells us that there is a prohibition for a Kohen to do a Levi's job or a Levi to do a Kohen's job. In addition, there's this independent prohibition of a non-Kohen or a non-Levi called a Zar to do any of the Avodah, any of the work in the Beit HaMikdash. But that sort of parallels this in the sense that as far as, let's say, the Kohen's work is concerned, the Levi is considered a Zar, is considered a non-Kohen, is considered a stranger, and is not allowed to do the work. So let's look at the mitzvah. Then we'll look at the Sefer Achinuch's explanation of why this is a prohibition. Then we'll look at another interesting idea related to this in terms of everyone doing what they're supposed to be doing. Then we'll look at some halachic applications of this prohibition. And maybe we'll get to one other item if we have time. So let's jump right in to the mitzvah. Mitzvah number 389, Sefer Achinuch Shin Petet, Shelo Yitasku HaKohanim Ba'avodat HaLeviim, V'lo HaLeviim Ba'avodat Kohanim, Shelo Yitasku HaLeviim Ba'avodat HaKohanim, V'lo HaKohanim Ba'esak HaLeviim, that the priests may not be involved in the service that the Leviim have to do, and the Leviim do not do what the Kohanim have to do, Ela, Kol Echad Ya'aseh Milachto HaMiyachedet Lo. That's the key. Everyone does the job that they have been assigned to do. Midichtiv, as it says in this week's pasuk, ish, this week's parsha, ish, ish, al avodato ve'al masa'o. Each person, each man to his service and to his load. V'lashon ha'miniyah sheba bazeh hu shenemar b'levi'im. This is this week's parsha. Ach el klei ha'kodesh ve'al mizbeach lo yekrivu v'acharei kein shav ha'katuv. Midaber al kohanim v'yamar v'lo yamutu gam heim gam atem yiratzel umar bazeh she'atem kimochein yichlal etchem lav zeh. The language of the prevention, the prohibition, we have in the pasuk, but to the vessels of the holy and to the altar they shall not approach. And afterwards, the verse talks about it again, and they shall not die, also they and also you, meaning to say with this, that you too, you are included in this negative command. Ki kemo shaleviim nimneim mimilachtechem, kach atem. Sorry about that. Kach atem. Just like you, the kohanim, the leviim, are not allowed to do your work. Kach atem nimneim mimilachtechem. You are also forbidden from doing their work. The lashon. So that's the general prohibition. Now we're going to see some interesting issues related to this, and then we're going to get to the reason. The lashon sifri. The midrash says as follows: El klei hakodesh from mizbeach azhara velo yamutu onesh. So the vessels of the holy one into the altar. It's is the warning, and they shall not die. Meaning this is an Easter that's punishable by death, a prohibition that's punishable by death, only ela halavim she'anushim u'masirin alavodat kohanim, kohanim alavodat halavim minayin. The pasuk is only explicit about the prohibition of the levim doing the work of the kohanim, but what about the kohanim not doing the work of the levim? Tamanomar gam atem, you also. U'matsanu, shebikesh Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya l'sayed Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda, this is interesting. We have a situation. The Midrash tells us a story. Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya wanted to help Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda to close the doors, which was the job of the Levim. Now, they were both Levim. So listen to this. He said, don't do it. Amar lo chazor l'acharecha. He said to him, go back. Shekvar ata mitchayev b'nafshecha, because you are already, meaning you're about to be liable on your life for a prohibition. Shani min ha-she'orim v'ata min ha-mishorerim. I am someone who's in charge of the gate, and you are a singer. So what's really interesting here is not only is the Sefer HaChinuch teaching us that a Kohen can't do a Levi's job, and a Levi can't do a Kohen's job, it's teaching us that a Kohen, that a Levi can't do another Levi's job. And because one of them was min ha-sha'arim, the gatekeeper, and one of them was the mishorerim, the singer, and he said, don't do my job. Hinei hitpa'er shekol Levi shelo ya'aseh b'mikdash shelo milachto ha-miyachedet lo chayav mita bidei shamayim. Wow. Right? That any Levi that does not do the work that was designated to him is liable for death by the hands of heaven. Ukamochen ha-kohanim, and similarly the kohanim are warned, hisaru shelo yikru lemelechet ha-leviim, that the kohanim not do the leviim work. Ulam im avrubaze einam b'mita. However, if the kohen does a Levi's job, it's not a capital offense. Ela b'malkut. It gets lashes. V'arum b'chilta el klei ha-kodesh el ha-mezbeach lo yigashu. What about if they only touch it? It's not a question of touching what you shouldn't touch. It's only a prohibition of doing the avodah. Okay. So that's the prohibition. A Kohen can't do a Levi's work. A Levi can't do a Kohen's work. And we even saw in the story that we had of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgoda, Gudgoda and Rabbi Yoshua ben Chananya, that even one Levi who has one job is not allowed to do the job of another Levi. Okay? I see Shula has a question, and here is what we should be thinking about as Shula asked the question, is why? Why not? Why can't one Levi do another Levi's job? Why can't a Kohen do a Kohen's job? What's the big deal? Okay, Shula, please unmute and go ahead. You have to unmute, Shula.
Who, the question is, who is handling the kelim? Because they said that nobody has to do the work with the clay kodesh.
No one's allowed to do the work of the clay kodesh that's not theirs. The Leviim carried the kelim from place to place in the Midbar, and the Kohanim did the Avodah with the Kalim in the Beit HaMikdash. So when it was time for the Kohanim to use them, the Kohanim had to use them. When it was time for the Leviim to transport them, the Leviim transported them.
So why they said that we shouldn't have, nobody should handle the clay kodesh?
No, that's the Torah telling the Leviim not to handle the clay kodesh in the context of the Avodah, because only the Kohanim are allowed to do that.
I see. So, all right.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, Rabbi.
Yes, hey, Rabbi.
What if there's not a Levi? Can the Kohens do a Dokken?
Oh, good question. Yeah, and nowadays the Kohen would wash their own hands. That's a good question, even though that's really the job of the Levi. But I think this only applies in the Beit HaMikdash per se.
Oh, okay.
Excellent question. But now I have a question. Why? Why is this? So serious that the Torah has to tell us that a Kohen can't do a Levi's job, a Levi can't do a Kohen's job? Why not? Any suggestions?
Each one has his job. I mean, it's specifically everybody has its own responsibility. Nobody should interfere with anybody else's.
Okay, let's see what the Sefer HaChinuch says. Misharshei HaMitzvah Lefi She'avodat Shtei Kitot Elehi Avoda Yikara U'Mikudeshet. Since each of the work of the two groups is very precious and holy, Alkein Sricha HaMilacha Lehishamer Me'od Min HaYeush. Right? These are very important jobs. And therefore, we have to make sure that they don't become abandoned. Min ha'atzala v'hashichecha, from laziness or forgetfulness. Ve'ein safek. Now, the Sefer HaChinuch gives us a very interesting insight into human nature. Ve'ein safek. Mikol milacha hamutelet al shnei anashim. Any job that has two people responsible for it, o yoter or more, Hapshia mitsuyabo yoter mimalacha hamutelet al ha'echad levado. There is a greater chance that it will be neglected than there would be if only one person would be involved. Ki harbe pa'amim yismichu shnehem kol echad al chaveiro. Because what's going to happen if two people are involved? Shula's going to take care of it. And Shula's going to say, Rabbi Gelman's going to take care of it, right? Ki harbe pamim yismichu shnehem kol echad al chaveiro v'tit batel hamilacha mibaneim, and no one's going to end up doing it. Zed davar barur lechol adam, that he says is obvious to people. V'derech mashal amru zechonam levracha, and the rabbis had a way of saying this. Al kayotzi bazek kedera debei shotvei. A pot of two partners or a stew of two partners, lo chamima v'lo karira. It doesn't get hot. It's not hot or cold. I mean, the people just sort of ignore it and it just sort of sits on the lukewarm fire, never getting totally hot the way it's supposed to be, or maybe never getting cooled off the way it's supposed to be. No one does their job. Kedera debei shitvei lo chamima v'lo karira. So here, it's so interesting, right, that the Sefer HaChinuch just gives us an insight into human nature as an explanation for why this halacha exists. That if the Levim thought the Kohanim were going to do it, and the Kohanim thought the Levim were going to do it, no one would do it. It would totally get ignored. And since these are very important and sanctified activities, the Torah had to make sure that they get taken care of. That's the Sefer HaChinuch's explanation as to why there is a prohibition against the Kohen doing the Kohen's job, the Levi's job, excuse me, and the Levi doing the Levi's job. Within their own community, they'll make sure that it gets done. But once it's outside their direct control, all bets are off, and they're not going to be able to do it. Okay, that is the Sefer HaChinuch. Let's stop there for a second and see if anyone has any comments or questions on that idea. Any thoughts? Anyone disagree? Anyone have a different view of human nature or different experience of human nature? All right, I see we've all worked in teams before. Yes, Rosalie, go ahead.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I've always worked in a team, and because just in case like somebody was sick or something happened and somebody couldn't do something, there was always somebody else that could pick up and do that job.
Interesting. So yeah, it could be that the Sefer HaChinuch is talking about a situation where you're not in a team, you don't have a unified purpose, as opposed to where you do have a team, because all the Levim can work together and all the Kohanim can work together, but not between teams, right? Not between Kohanim and Levim, because then the whole team of Kohanim will think the Levim is going to do it, and the whole team of the Levim are thinking the Kohanim are going to do it, and that's a recipe for disaster. But maybe if there's a sort of shared sense of responsibility, then it would be okay. And in fact, I don't know if we're going to get to it, but that is the view of the Torah Tamima. He says that, because I'll just quickly show you, right? We have other verses that seem to contradict this, right? We have a verse in Kohelet, Tovim Hashnayim Min Ha'echad. Two is better than one. Well, what about what we just said? If two is better than one, why can't we have more than one person responsible for each activity? And so the, commenting on this, the Torah Tamima says, Tovim Hashnayim Shenosin V'notnim B'prakmatia Min Ha'echad. Two are better in business than one. If one falls, like Rosalie said, the other one's going to lift them up. So, but there again, it could be that it's referring specifically to a situation where they have a shared sense of responsibility, and it's really both there. Project, as Rashi says, Mipnei Shezeh Somech Al Zeh V'Zeh Al Zeh. We each rely on each other, and since we each rely on each other, and we know that, then we are have a better chance of everyone doing, of taking care of the job. Okay, go ahead, Ellie.
It seems that when it's really important to Hashem, structure and order. That's a way of getting structure and order. Like I say, the Seder at Pesach, structure and order are really important.
Right.
When it's a really a very elevated thing that you're doing, that's incredibly important to Hashem for His reasons, and we do a good job at guessing at what His reasons are. So when it's lesser, when there's a lesser thing, then He wants us to work together in a group and be communal.
Okay, excellent. Right. Okay. So sometimes we have a communal thing, but sometimes we need absolute structure and order. Certainly when it comes to the Avodah in the Beit HaMikdash. Let me just show you the Rambam here in Mor Nevuchim. He says as follows. V'chein his here kol adam me'ovdei HaMikdash, that all those who worked in the Beit HaMikdash, shelo yitasek b'melechet chaveiro, not to work in the other's field, k'amelachot v'asakim ha'misurim l'rabim im lo. When it comes to work assigned to the people, if one person is not specifically assigned, there's going to be carelessness and neglect from everything. He says, this is explains also, while there are different rules of sanctity in different places, Temple Mount, different areas in the Beit HaMikdash, was to rise, to raise the element of respect. Shezet kulo tosefet hagdala unitinat yir'ah yitera, additional reverence, belev kol machonolav, everyone who approached it. And so we have this idea that, again, these are very important things you're supposed to do. And it sounds like also the what the Rambam is saying is the more holy the place, the less people that were allowed to be there, right? The best example of this is the Kodesh HaKadashim on Yom Kippur, that only the Kohen Gadol was allowed to be there on Yom Kippur. There was only one person in the world who was able to do that Avodah on Yom Kippur. Okay, so that is answer number one as to why it is that the Kohen can't do the Levi's job and the Levi can't do the Kohen's job. I want to skip something and come to a different explanation, and then maybe we'll come back to this. Okay? Oops, I hope I did not forget it. Uh-oh, hold on. Okay, let me see if I can find it real quick, because it was really, really lovely, and I definitely want to share it with you. Let's see if I can put it in real quick here. So we had the Mor Nevuchim, and here we go. Found it. Oh, here we go. Okay. So this is, let me share the screen again. This is from the Meshech Chochmah. I'll tell you a little about the author of the Mesha Chachma in a moment. I have to actually stop sharing to do that. And then share again. I'll tell you about the Mesha Chachma. Okay, so the Mesha Chachma's name was Rabbi Meir Simcha of Divinsk. He lived from 1843 to 1926. He was born in Lithuania, and he is very well known. He was a Kohen, which is appropriate for our topic today. And he spent a good part of his career in Divinsk, which is why he's called Meir Simcha of Divinsk. And he's also known as the Meshech Chochma, because that's the name of the book that he wrote. He wrote other books as well. He wrote something on the Rambam. He wrote Chidushim, new interpretations of various tractates of the Talmud. And he has some Shelot U'Tshuvot, addressing issues of Halacha. And again, he's most well known for his commentary on Chumash called the Meshech Chochma. And here, he's going to do something very interesting. And we're going to be able to use this to understand a different reason for this mitzvah. What the Mesha Chachma does here, he mentioned there's a pasuk in Shemot. The pasuk in Shemot says as follows. Vayanu kol ha'am yachdav, vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Everyone answered together. Everything that God said, we will do. What the Mesha Chachma wants to understand is that's not true. Right? Not everyone can do every mitzvah. We just saw it right now. A Levi can't do a Kohen's mitzvah. A Kohen can't do a Levi's mitzvah. I can't do a mitzvah for a Kohen or a Levi. There are all sorts of restrictions as to who can do certain mitzvot. So what does that mean that they said together, na'aseh, that we're all going to do the mitzvot? It's not possible. It's just not possible. So here the Mesha Chachma teaches us a very, very important yesod and a very, very beautiful idea. Vayanu kol ha'am yachdav vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh. Everyone answered together and said, everything that God said we will do. Hine mitzvot ha-Torah yesh asher la-kohanim v'yesh asher la-levim. Because wait a second. There are some mitzvot which are kohanim and some levim, which we just saw. V'yesh l'kohen gadol v'yesh l'melech. Some only apply to the Kohen Gadol and some only apply to the Melech. O the Sanhedrin, or to members of the Sanhedrin. V'yesh l'misha yesh lo karka v'ubayet. Some only apply to someone who owns a home or owns land. Rak b'chlal Yisrael tricha ha-Torah l'tkayim. However, when it comes to the klal, all of the people, then it's possible to do all the mitzvot. Rak b'chlal Yisrael tricha ha-Torah l'tkayim. V'kol Yisrael arevin zeh l'zeh. When it comes to all of us, if we all do what we're each supposed to do, then we will have all the mitzvot covered. Right? Rak b'chlal Yisrael tzricha ha-Torah l'tkayim v'kol Yisrael arevin zeh l'zeh u'b'kiyumam kulan mikablin schar. And so when I do a mitzvah that doesn't apply to someone, that person gets some of the reward. And if another person does the mitzvah that doesn't apply to me, but since I'm part of the group, I get part of the reward. V'yaten son mariti adam ata. The pasuk in Yecheskel says, you are the flock that I look after. You are adam. What does that mean, you are adam? So the Midrash says, tzadikim liban shel Yisrael. The righteous are the heart. V'yesh kerosh, v'yesh ka'ayin. Some of us are like the head. Some of us are like the eye. V'ushenimtza rosh ha'ida, enei ha'ida. You have verses in the Torah that talk about the head of the congregation, the eyes of the congregation. Everyone has to do the mitzvot that apply to them. And what happens when we do that? Then we are a complete Adam. That's what the pasuk says, right? Then we become one complete person. Now, what about mitzvot that we can't do? Not because I'm not a Kohen or a Levi, because there's no Beit HaMikdash. Right now, there's no mitzvot. There's no way for us to have to offer Hashem the full package of mitzvot. What am I supposed to do? So the Mesha Chachma says something so beautiful. He says, then we have to learn about the mitzvot. by learning about the mitzvot, like today, we're learning about mitzvot that really don't apply. By learning about mitzvot that don't apply, we get credit as if we've done them. Here it is. Tarich lilmod. Dekola osek b'torah chatat kilu hikriv. Anyone who learns about the rules of the karban chatat, it's as if they brought the karban chatat. Ola chazik lilmod lomdei Torah. Or to strengthen those who could learn Torah. Lachain lahalan anu kol asher dibir Hashem naseh v'nishma. Yesh mim shenaseh mashashayach itzlo, v'yesh shenishma shenol mad v'navim p'nim yutam v'ilchoteihem v'choteihem. That's why later in the Torah, it says naseh v'nishma. The first time around, it said naseh. And it says, in terms of naseh, it says we will all do. Well, that's right. We're all able to do. We all do the mitzvot that apply to us, and it's as if the whole package has been delivered. Then later the Torah says, Naseh v'nishma, we will do and we will hear, which means we will learn about the mitzvot, even when we can't do them, because let's say there's no Beit HaMikdash, or we're not in Eretz Yisrael, by learning about them, it's as if we had done them. Yesh mehem shenaseh ma sheyach etlo, v'yesh shenishma shenilmad v'navin, we all do the mitzvot that apply to us, and some also will hear and learn v'navin p'nimiyotam b'lchoteyem, they'll understand the details of the mitzvah and the laws of the mitzvah. Aval kan anu kol ha'am yachdav kol ha'shei bar Hashem naseh. However, in the pasuk that he's talking about, in Yitro, that everyone will do and listen, shebechalut ha'am ke'echad kulam yachdav ya'asu kol ha'shei bar Hashem. We will all eventually end up doing everything that God says because we all are connected to each other. Everyone has to do that which is relevant to them. So that's another possible explanation of this, meaning this mitzvah is to remind us that everyone has their own tafkid. Everyone has their own special role that they play. And I don't have to be worried about filling someone else's role. All I have to do is my role. If I do my role well, then it's as if, and everyone else does their role well, I have provided a full package, if you will, of mitzvot to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to God. Okay, Shula, please unmute yourself. I saw you had a hand. Unmute, please. You're still muted, Shula. Nope, we still cannot hear you. Click unmute.
I was talking as if I... question is, not is that actually all the mitzvot, Beit HaMikdash belongs to the all of Bnei Israel. And the Kohanim and Levim, whatever mitzvah that they're doing, they're not doing it for their own benefit. They're doing it for us. So
that's beautiful.
That's what I mean. That
very nice. Yeah, that's right. That's true. They are doing it for us. They are the shlichei of the shlichim of the kihila. Yes, absolutely.
I was gonna say this explanation kind of reminds me of lo alecha hamlacha ligmor. Like, we each just have to do our part, and the whole is bigger than the parts.
Right, exactly. We do have to finish our part, but you're right. We can't do everything. Exactly. And that's what what the Meshech Chochma says here, Kol Yisrael, Arvin, Zelazel, we're all responsible for each other. So now that brings in a whole new meaning for us. If I don't do the mitzvah that are incumbent upon me, technically speaking, you could argue someone else is going to suffer. Right? Because we're all connected. We're like one body. Excellent. Okay. I want to just show you how halacha uses this concept. If you remember up above, we had this interesting sort of colorful phrase that a pot of two partners does not get hot or cold. So let's just look at one halachic application of that. There's a general prohibition against knocking down a Beit Knesset before the new one is built. Now, the concern there is because maybe you'll never get around to building the new one, and you won't have a dignified place to daven. So you're not going to knock down the old one before the new one is built. However, so the Shulchan Aruch says that here, Ein sotrin beit ha-knesset, they live no beit ha-knesset, acher shema ya'areh lahem ones, shelo yivnu ha-acher, elabonim acher tchili v'achakach sotrin yashah. We're not allowed to knock down a shul before we build a new one because something may happen, and therefore the new one won't be built, and we'll be without a shul. So if they have to build the first one, and then you can knock down, you have to build the new one, then you can knock down the original. However, the Shulchan Aruch says there is an exception to this rule. What do you think the exception is? Anyone?
If you have to build it on the same property?
Okay, maybe practically there's no other place to build it. That could be. The Shulchan Aruch says the one possible exception is that the current building is dangerous, right? You can't leave it up because it's dangerous. So the Shulchan Aruch says, "V'hani mili she'ya rishon chazak avalem charvo yisodosav o natu k'talav lipol sotrin oto miyad imatchilu levnot b'mehera b'yom uvalayla shema tidchak ha'shavi yisheir charu." If the first building is dangerous, the walls are leaning in, the ceiling's collapsing, the foundation is weak, then he says you can build the new one, you can knock it down, and simultaneously start building the new one as quickly as you can, so you minimize the risk of not finishing the first project. So then a question was asked. A question was asked in the Har Bisamim. There they're talking about a women's section. And in this women's section, they want to knock down the shul in the women's section to build a better shul. Okay? So technically speaking, the halacha of the Shulchan Aruch should be operative here. Right? It's not dangerous. Or if it's not dangerous, build a new one first. So comes along the Hari B'Samim and says, Nachzor l'nidan she'latenu, b'ha chitna u'v'ha salikna de'v'adai shari l'mochro, Al pi zayin tu be'ha'ir, v'yachlu l'mokro l'balei ha'makomot, sh'yikmi v'et ha'kneset ha'chadasha, v'arei b'rush, reish baba mitzia, dav kaf, d'kol binyan sh'yev sh'al levnoto, b'li stirak yon la'archiv ha'binyan, heve kichaza be'et tivuha. Let's say, as was mentioned, you need the land, you need to build a bigger shul, and you need the land where the old shul is to build the bigger shul, so you've got to knock it down. Why? Because the Atzei B'Samim says that's like a house or a room that has holes in it, that's breaking, that's unsafe. Kevan sheyadua shekol eskei rabim hidera debei shutfu. Since we know that communal work can be likened, like we said before, to a stew with two cooks, really, the building is not in such disrepair. It can be built. It can be fixed. But what's the problem? It's a public building. And you have no one person to go to say, I need money for new light bulbs. I need money for a new floor. I need money for a new roof. It's like a kedera. It's like a pot, debay shutfu, with two partners. And what gets done when there's a pot with two partners? Nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. And so similarly, if you have this building that's in disrepair but can be fixed, if I go ask this person may say, no, go to that person. And that person may say, go to a third person because it's communal funds. And therefore, the room is never going to get fixed. It's never going to be safe. He says, okay, knock it down. Right? Or if it's too big, you also could say, knock it down. Because trying to figure out who's going to pay for the repairs of the building that's too big, it's like pulling teeth because everyone passes the buck. Or in our case, everyone forwards the email and says, can you deal with this? Can you deal with this? Can you deal with this? And since that's going to happen, we relax the general prohibition of not knocking down a shul before the new one is built, in order to take it, in order to recognize the validity of the statement that the Sefer Chinuch said, that when there's more than one person do a job, it doesn't get done. So if you knock down the building, or if before you knock down the building, you need to go get money from a bunch of people, you're never going to get it, because everyone's going to, you know, have something else that they have to do, and you're never going to be able to get the money. So we see here that this cute idea that a stew with two cooks doesn't, never gets cooked, nothing happens. We see that plays itself out in halachic ways as well. So there you have it, my friends. The prohibition of a Kohen doing a Levi's work, and a Levi doing a Kohen's work. The one answer given by the Shulchan Aruch, by the Sefer HaChinuch, is that because nothing will ever get done. The reason given by the Shulchan Aruch, another reason that we gave is everyone should stay in their lane, do what they have to do, and if everyone does what they have to do, we'll be able to offer the most beautiful, the most full package of mitzvot to God. Kol Yisrael Areim Zeh LaZeh. I give some of my reward to someone else gives a little bit of their reward to me, and we're all made up into a whole person, the whole community. That's the second possible example, reason for this mitzvah. And the third, and the notion we said about the pants, about the shul that needs to be knocked down, there we see that if there's a real problem that it's not going to get done because there are too many cooks in the kitchen, then we're allowed to forego that rule and knock down the shul first, because we take serious this idea that more than one person in charge, usually nothing gets done, and better. And since the whole point of the rule was to make sure that the shul did get fixed and did get built, when the rule itself serves as a hindrance, there's a stumbling block to having that done, we have to relax the rule. Okay, my friends, that is it for the day.